This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Hey, what's up, fuckers? Welcome to, I believe it's Fawcast 114.
Correct.
It is correct.
Yep.
Welcome to the program. We're here at the Charterhouse Real Estate office in beautiful Ankeny. And big game to discuss from last night. Iowa State beats Kansas State. Good win for Iowa State. TCU coming to town on Saturday. Probably hash that out a little bit. And of course, whatever... whatever other crap we come up with here over the next 45 minutes or so, gentlemen.
Do you guys realize, by the way, that, and no, I'm not a scientist, and if it's global warming, I don't care. We are literally living through the best winter of any of our lives right now.
Yeah. Don't you sit back and just wait like we're going to get punished? Remember two years ago we got snow in May?
Yeah, I do. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop, which I understand, but literally the rest of February, the next... week. 7 days, it's not lower than in the 50s, I don't think.
No, yesterday, McIntyre's 7-day forecast was in the 60s every day.
So, trust me, I love it. As soon as Christmas is done, I'm done with snow. I don't want snow. This is an awesome winter. But yes, March could come and we could have like 3 straight weeks of zero. So it's, you know, it's possible. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's just an early spring. But I love it. Aren't you happier when the weather's nice? And
the sun. The sun's a big deal for
you
me.
You know?
If it's cold and it's sunny, I'm okay. It's those gloomy, cloudy days for weeks on end where you just can't see the sun. That wears on you.
Hot take here.
Yeah.
I kind of like – this is nice. Don't get me wrong. But I like the snow too. Like, I was really looking forward to taking Cammy and Dirks out and letting them play in the snow and stuff. And, like, we haven't even been able to do that this year.
I do feel bad.
Could not build a snowman.
Anybody that had a snow-related business this winter no longer has a snow-related business. Yeah. I mean, holy crap. There's been nothing to shovel, to plow, really, at all. Oh, well, Iowa State did look good last night, though, boys. I was impressed.
Are you done with your commentary on the weather, old man Charter?
Yeah. There's no storms coming yet. I don't feel it in my knees. That's when you know you're old.
Oh, the arthritis.
Do you think that's true? I think there's some truth
to that. Well, I do know that my grandma used to walk 20 miles to and back from school in
uphill,
3 feet of snow.
Both ways.
Yeah. No, good win. I posted a podcast late last night. I mean, these road wins are kind of fun. I kind of expect them with this team. That's dangerous.
Are people starting when we've had a good road season? Are people starting to like Prohm a little bit compared to Freddie? For a while there, it was not Freddie.
Why do we got to compare?
Because that's what we do in this world. We compare.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know.
You know, is he officially better than Wayne Morgan at this point?
I mean, come on. That's not hard to do. Bloom, if you haven't read it yet and you're listening to the podcast today, Bloom wrote a really nice column about just like the history of road wins at Iowa State, and it's pretty dire. I mean, just the history of this program. I mean, even, like we romantically think back of the Johnny Orr days, and they never won on the road. And
not only did they lose, they used to lose by 40.
Yeah.
They used to get slaughtered.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, and Bloom pointed this out, and I guess I hadn't realized it, but I go back and think about it, and it's absolutely correct. That 2005 win against Texas, Jared Homan had never won a road game in his entire career before that day.
And that was his junior year?
Yeah. No, that was his senior year. Homan only played 1 year for Morgan.
Wait, I'm going to look this up.
He didn't turn out too bad. He with a supermodel now.
Oh, your only road Big 12.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Big is his first league road win.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Bloom.
If Bloom says it, I'm sure it's right. The year before, we did go to Florida State on the road in the NIT and pick up a big road win.
I forgot that they did that game. Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of the point. And obviously, Iowa State's basketball brand has gotten a lot better since 2005. There's no denying that. I guess what I would say is I've got Iowa State finishing 11-7 in the league, and the league is better this year than it was a year ago. And you don't have George Niang. I think that Prohm, I think there's reason to criticize. I still don't understand how and why he subs the way he does. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nitpicky stuff, but I do think he's done a hell of a job both years and really getting that team to kind of peak at the right time. I mean, one thing I think Steve does do better than Fred, if you want to compare the two, and there's a lot of stuff that Fred does better than Steve. There's a reason why he's the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. But I think the one thing Steve's really good at is managing guys' confidence levels. And we saw it with Jameel last year.
He builds them up.
Yeah, he disciplined. Like, I don't think that Fred probably would have sat Jameel last year. Yeah. I don't think that.
I think you're talking two different things here. Confidence-wise, Fred Hoiberg was phenomenal as far as giving his players confidence because he let him do pretty much whatever.
Too much sometimes, though. So, like, I mean, I'm talking about, like, Bryce DeJean-Jones. Like, I think that Steve probably would have suspended Bryce DeJean-Jones for a couple of games, too.
He probably never would have brought him to Iowa State.
But you know what I'm saying, yeah. Though. Like, I think that.
Yeah, no.
Steve has a way of doing that, and it's kind of even harder to explain. But Steve thinks very big picture.
He disciplines for the greater big picture.
Yes.
This is how I expect it for our team, which maybe down the road gives a guy confidence. But I mean, the confidence word. I always thought Iowa State players play with a ton of confidence under Fred Hoiberg because he let him.
No, I'm not saying that they didn't. Yeah. You're right. It's probably two different conversations.
Yeah.
But my whole deal is I think that. And this probably hurts Iowa State under Steve early in the season when he'll do a thing like he did last night where we're all on Twitter going, what the hell is he doing? Where he'll leave Nick Weiler-Babb in the game. But Steve's doing that thinking we're going to need this guy to be decent in 2 weeks. And that's where I think that, like, Steve's thinking big picture quite often. And he did that with Daryl Bowie. You suspend a guy, and then he plays 20-some minutes the next day out. And Bowie went 3-for-4. He wasn't that terrible. I think that Steve's constantly thinking about March. I like that about him.
Yeah, I would agree.
Ultimately, isn't that what matters most?
It is.
You want to win the conference.
Well, I mean,
but
last season wasn't that great, but they
peaked at the right time.
They made it to the Sweet 16, and everybody remembers it as a success. They went 10-8 in the Big 12 last year.
So here's my question, and I want you to actually put this up. When you upload this onto the Cyclone Fanatic later, I want you to make a poll. Can you do this?
Okay.
Okay, here's the question. Knowing now what we know, would you rather have had Naz Long stay and play last year, Iowa State still made it to the Sweet 16, and seen what, or are you happy that he's back this year on this team?
I would say B.
B.
I'm happy he's on this team. Because without him this year, I don't even know if they go to the tournament.
Well, and he plays the way he did last night.
And they went to the tournament last. I mean, I want to keep the tournament streak going.
But that's the question, because they went to the Sweet 16. Maybe with Naz playing all year, maybe that team's a Elite Eight Final Four team. I mean, it's a fun conversation to have.
I still don't
it?
Think they would have been. And that's probably why. I mean, I think that they max out of the Sweet 16 last year regardless.
With him or without him?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I think they would have had a better seed, I think.
Yeah, but I think Naz's game has grown a lot in a year, too.
I agree.
Naz couldn't put it on the floor and do some of the stuff that he's done this season a year ago.
But remember how devastating it was when we found out he wasn't playing?
Well, yeah.
Last year was the year we won in the Final Four.
People think Niang led that team. Naz was the leader of that team last year.
Vocally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Naz was the guy. Like, the thing about George is, you know, everybody adores him, and rightfully so, but George was a tough teammate at times, too, because he would get in your face, and Naz was always the pick pick them up type guy.
Yeah.
Naz is the guy who's the cheerleader in the huddle. He's the emotional and spiritual leader of this program.
He was the mom. Like when dad's tough on you, go to mom.
He did it last year, though, too, on the bench.
Mom.
You could see it all the time. Monte would, you know,
Naz was the first guy. Like when they would call timeouts last year, Naz was the first guy on the court every single time. Like in his street clothes, obviously, but like giving high fives and telling people whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, Adam, I don't even think that'll be close. Because I think that, especially for the maturation of the Steve Prohm era, like if you go to two tournaments, well, that buys you more capital going forward.
It does. I wouldn't be convinced that we would not be a tournament team this year.
I'm not saying they wouldn't, but it's not a sure thing.
Sure. I understand. I think that'd be an interesting poll, though. I think some
go ahead and put it up.
Put it up. It'd be interesting.
Here's an interesting basketball story that comes off of NBC Sports. By the way, well, it's not that interesting, but we've talked about it before. It had to do with how I said, even though Gray likes to cuss on this every time, I don't like it when our students do it. They say bullshit.
It's stupid. It's really stupid.
Okay, but the Kansas State president has asked in a letter fans to stop their vulgar chants. So this is directly from their president, specifically citing many instances in which they use the F word when they play Kansas. He says it's personally embarrassing to him, and he wants it to stop. Leith could do the same thing if he wanted to. Maybe he didn't care. Maybe he likes it.
The five claps followed by the you suck drives me bonkers.
Oh, after the intro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Five claps is a sign of respect. Five claps, leave it at that.
Like, you suck. No Frank Mason. He doesn't suck.
No, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I don't know. What could they say that's better?
Nothing. Five claps. Leave it at that. That's what it used to always be. It was five claps.
And good luck.
No, not even that. It was five claps. Done.
Sportsmanship.
Done.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know what, though? But then from the rest of the game on, if they want to yell, swear at players, I'm fine with that, actually. That didn't bother me. It's the
speaking of that, did you see that Bruce Weber was upset after the game? Iowa State was talking too much trash.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Oh, go watch his press conference. It's like at the 20-minute mark.
Have your team play better. They won't talk as much trash.
He's such a whiny.
Well,
baby.
I mean, like, your team's lost 6 of 7, bro. Like, why are you worried about Iowa State right now?
Yeah.
Where
are they talking crap? I mean, I watched the game. Not that you noticed.
I think everybody was. I mean, Brown got that T for them. Like, yeah. I mean, it was a chippy game, and that's Big 12 basketball in February.
Matt, when he made his three, stuck his tongue out. I mean, I don't know. That's pretty bad. I saw that.
Like at somebody or just
you know, like kind of like Michael Jordan. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Iowa State's best when they're talking trash. These guys are.
The only time you talk trash is when you're playing really well, so I'm okay with them talking trash.
Well, I mean, that comes from Niang. Like Niang and Naz and.
Well, the blowing the kisses and stuff. I mean, George took it to the next level.
Donovan Jackson's putting the team to sleep.
Tyrus is the one who got all that going.
How do you feel about
Tyrus is the biggest shit talker in the history of Iowa State.
I like it when they do the quiet symbol to the crowd. You know, they hit a big three and then they tell
Tyrus,
him shush.
Tyrus would be 0-for-7 from three and still running his mouth.
Yeah, but he'd back it up because he'd make the next four.
That's called confidence without merit.
I love Tyrus McGee. Like,
got all the confidence in the world and no skill to back it up, dude. I just missed 7 shots in a row. It's like, okay. Interesting.
Well, yeah, but you know that. But you knew that Tyrus could string together 7 in a row.
How many did he hit in practice that one time? You heard about that, or maybe it was on video.
Oh yeah, Pete got that video.
He
I remember watching
30 or
insane.
Something in a row,
and he was like well behind the 3-point line.
I mean,
too.
It was just automatic, one after another.
He's the best shooter I've ever seen at Iowa State. Matt Thomas has got the prettiest jumper. Matt Thomas's 3-point shot is just
dude. Thomas
gorgeous.
Is the string that he's put together in the last 7 games is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't added it up now, but he was 68% in the last 6 games. Going into last night, he was 2-for-3. So
he dropped it a little bit.
Yeah,
but the thing about that is it included an 0-for-5 game.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Is our max seed a 7?
No,
for the tournament.
No, I think they can get to a 6. Maybe
by what winning at least one game in the Big 12, or they get one more. Than
no,
that?
I think you're overthinking the Big 12. I think that let's say they beat TCU, and beat
Baylor.
You need to beat Baylor, I think, because and I hope Baylor is still in the top 5. I don't know. I think that a win against on the road at Tech is valuable as well.
Best so case scenario.
You go in there and say, I have 5 road wins in the toughest league in the country.
You know, the Big 12
like
tournament matters, though.
They're like 45 in the RPI, if that's what you're
if
looking
at. If Iowa State finishes the season okay and then goes to the Big 12 championship game, can they get a 5? Is it possible?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Because they'll probably be ranked at that point, too.
Oh, they'd have to be. Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of hope for the season. There was a time when it's like, this team can be very frustrating.
I don't think they'll be on – I mean, based off of what I've seen lately, I don't think they'll be on that 8-9 line unless they implode. I think they'll work their way up to at least a 7. I've got them as a 6.
Okay.
Right. Just because I think if you go 11-7 in this league, and if you have 4 or 5 road wins, one of them's at Phog Allen, and your RPI is in the 30s.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you could be on the 8-9 line.
What do you have the Hawks slated in at this year?
NIT bound.
I just got to poke the bear a little bit sometimes.
Are they in the NIT right now? Let's take a – just got to be over 500, right?
They're in the NIT. The NIT is a bunch of crap, too. I mean, it's more about – they want some brands, and I always that's a good NIT team. I mean, that makes sense for them.
Do you have to be over 500? Is that the criteria?
Yeah,
you
do.
They're 14-12, so unless they poop the bed, they're fine.
Do you think players? Do you think players get up for the NIT?
A team like that does.
A young team would.
Team like that absolutely would. Iowa State, like if they had to go to the NIT, it'd be a joke. They'd probably lose in the first round.
One thing I found interesting.
Remember when Kentucky lost to Robert Morris in the NIT? Because Kentucky just doesn't care about the NIT.
They mailed it in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys want to talk about good old Larry Eustace or not.
Yeah, let's do.
I do.
That news that broke the other day. But one thing, so feel free to recap it. But one thing that was interesting to me that I had not read before, I'm sure you guys did, I think it was in his book, was Paul Shirley's comments on Larry and playing for Larry. And he talked specifically about the team that lost to Hampton.
Did you ever read that book, by the way?
I didn't. I heard it was good.
I have it if you want to borrow it.
Yeah, so...
interesting. But basically, I don't know if I call it good.
This reminds me of the NIT at the end of the year and people not caring. But Iowa State was a 2 seed. First game of the tournament, loses to the 15 seed. And Paul Shirley had said by that point, Larry was sick of them. They were sick of Larry, and they were all sick of each other. I mean, that was his quote about – and the point was how Larry basically made it suck for him. But that's interesting because you take someone's perspective like that, Paul Shirley, and then compare that with – somebody like Jake Sullivan that played for Larry and what he posted on Facebook, and he likes the way Larry coached.
I think it's at the time he didn't,
but he appreciates it now.
I think that that's the perfect precursor to this entire Larry debate. Is some kids can handle being coached like that, and some kids just simply cannot. I say kids, some men,
which is completely fair. But my question is why is it grounds for firing? Because he called a couple coaches effing a-holes.
No, I think it's because he
full serious? Disclosure, I haven't read the full report yet, so I don't.
He allegedly called, I don't even know, well, this is a podcast, you can say whatever, but I think a lot of it was stuff like that. That's where you get fired anymore.
I don't think you can say that.
It isn't.
Was that in the report?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You can't use homophobic and racial slurs.
So, I mean, using the F word, I mean, pretty much every coach.
That word players, that you just said?
Yeah.
Was unfortunately socially acceptable 15 years ago.
Then
people said it all the time. You can't say that now. And that, you know, and this could get into a whole other social commentary, but you like the world has changed and you do have to evolve, unfortunately, Larry. I don't really even have an opinion on it because, again, I haven't read the full thing. All I know is Bob Knight probably wouldn't be able to do what he did today.
No.
Larry's in the same realm.
Yeah.
Some athletes can handle that. Some can't. And I don't think as many in the year 2017 can compared to in the year 2000. I think there are fewer college students that can handle that type of coaching now compared to 20 years ago.
And there's going to be more and more and more. We've talked about this before. I mean, we talk about the whatever you want to call it. Let's call it the trophy culture for the purposes of an argument. In that, everybody needs to be treated fairly. Everybody's the same. You know, parents don't – something's playing. There you go, Gray. Thanks. You can't be tough on anybody anymore. I mean, it's a generational thing, too. It's definitely shifted.
The world's changed.
2 generations ago, fathers weren't friends with their sons. Very rarely. That wasn't a thing,
like
right?
My grandpa,
I'm your dad. I never saw
my dad and grandpa hug. Like, they just didn't
That didn't
it.
Happen. Now, yeah. Many fathers, myself included – say things like, hey, buddy, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
To my kid, right? Yeah. So I think we've definitely gotten softer, and in some ways that's good. When it comes to coaching, you can't put your hands on a player. in any type of a violent way other than like direct them, right?
One of the things that I did read about it, apparently Larry had like full pop cans and was throwing them at the wall.
Chucked them at the walls,
and they were exploding.
Hey, at least they're
awesome.
At least they're pop cans and not beer cans.
Like I don't understand any of the issue with this.
It said he chucked full pop cans at walls. He broke numerous whiteboards in locker rooms, things like that.
No way.
Play better.
He broke a whiteboard?
Yeah. But here's my point, though. You can't touch them. Can't touch them anymore.
My guess is those are not the reason why
you can't use derogatory language towards them. But I think you can swear.
Absolutely.
I think you can yell. I think you can do all of those things. But there's going to be players that can't even handle that. You know, because it's the first time that's ever happened to them.
That's a them problem, yeah. Especially in college basketball, it's tough. The AAU culture has really turned the sport into a cesspool, in my opinion.
So what do you say? You don't have a son yet, Chris. Adam does, and it doesn't really matter. It could be your daughter. But your daughter comes home, or Gray, your son comes home, and they say, you know, practice today, coach yelled at us and told us we suck and we need to be better and whatever. Didn't touch him, didn't use derogatory language, but got on their asses. What do you say to your kid?
I would let my daughter play for Bill Finley.
What do you say to your kid that's crying because it upset them so much?
Toughen up.
Sounds like you got to get better. What do we need to do to get better?
Because you guys realize also that a lot of parents don't say those things anymore. I'm going to the school board.
That has no impact on me.
That's what they're going to say.
Here's the deal, though. If people don't like the way Larry coaches, it's very easy to transfer. And he's had a lot of players transfer.
Well, unfortunately, the NCAA makes that tougher than it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's very easy. It's very easy for a coach to get a new job, but for a kid to transfer, you have to sit out.
The NCAA transfer rules are garbage.
It's easy. Do you have to sit out? Yes, but it's not hard to do. Yeah, hey, but I'd like to leave the school and go somewhere
else.
How many
young players want to sit out a year? Nobody does.
They all do it.
That's punitive. It's punitive. Your coach sucks and is abusive to you, and you have to sit out a year.
This is a whole other conversation, though. That's completely different. It's easy to leave one school and go to another.
You have choice.
Assuming the school lets you out, and
you have choice,
and they can still dictate where you go.
It's no different than the Iowa State player that complained about her career and never transferred. You know, Moody, right? She could have left at any point and didn't.
Two out of every 500 kids that transfer for basketball have sanctions on them as far as where they can go.
Yeah,
2 out of 500. It's not.
What do you mean, 2 out of 500?
Like, how often does a school say, "Hey, you can't go here, here, here"?
More often than you think, it just doesn't get publicized.
Because most times, a kid doesn't care. It's okay. There could it be better for the player? Sure. I'm just saying, if they don't like it, the kid can always leave.
Correct.
And here's the thing: the dude wins. He's a hell of a coach. This year, they lost 3 basketball players for academic reasons. They're in first place in the Mountain West Conference. He knows what he's doing. And this took place 2013, 2014. I don't think it's hurt them from winning basketball games, and players are still there. I don't know. I'm reading all this.
I don't think anybody's arguing that he wins.
Well, and here's the thing, though. I haven't seen anything with the him calling players.
Did you actually read the report? I haven't read it yet.
I've read whatever's been on here. I haven't seen what Charter said.
Yeah, I don't. But, yeah, let me see if I can find where he actually.
But
said
what
that.
I'm seeing here is
I don't want to say. He said
I just think it's really hard to have like a hard opinion on this unless you've read the report.
Yeah. He broke eraser boards in front of players in the locker room.
That's not fireable.
He threw unopened soda cans against walls. He sometimes told assistants to shut the F up. He called players highly profane names. My college coach did this on a daily basis, and I love the guy.
That doesn't mean it's right, though. My point is, you obviously can handle that. You obviously could handle that.
But what makes it wrong?
It's a different world, man. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying, you can't do the same stuff in 2017 as you did in 2000. It's a different world.
I love Larry Stacey.
I get it.
You should never have been fired from Iowa State.
Okay, I get that that's your opinion, but that doesn't mean it's the only opinion.
I don't know.
You haven't even read the report. How can you be so matter-of-fact?
I'm reading what Des Moines Register, Deadspin, what these places are putting in here. I'm assuming they're taking the worst stuff and putting it in the story because that's typically
I attributed that he said the F word. The FAG word.
I have not seen that.
According to that, so let me retract that.
That will get you fired in 2017.
Let me retract that. I'm
retracting
because I'm not seeing that currently, but what I am seeing is you call them effing CUNTSs. Kind of the same thing.
Not a good word to use. Never used it in my life. Would never use it. Wouldn't bother me.
Yeah. So
I think that's crossing a line.
Crossing a line may be grounds
for firing, grounds for a story.
It depends on the context of it. How many times did this happen? Is this a deal that happened every day? Is it a one-time deal?
He punted a basketball. Every coach in the country has punted a basketball in practice. Every single one.
That's what makes you a legend, dude. How good of a punt was it?
I guarantee you, Steve Prohm was kicked a basketball in practice, and he is the nicest, most calm guy in the world.
Dude, what is one of the reasons that Bobby Knight is so famous? Because he threw a chair across the floor.
Awesome.
You know, people love him because he did it. I mean, you can show some emotion out there. That's fine. No, as long as you don't punt someone's head.
The C word is not a good word to use. Let's be honest.
It's a really bad
word. A bad word. Shouldn't do that. Hey, knock that off. Okay, this happened in 2013, 2014, by the way.
It is, however, much worse if you use that word and call a female that versus calling another dude that. I think there's a variation there.
Yeah.
I had Australian teammates that called me that word every day.
That word is that word. I don't care what context it is.
They use it like it's just a word. Yeah. We had to try to tell them that it was not proper.
Cultures are very different. We know this, right? Like in England or Europe, a fag is a cigarette. It is.
Mark, you really need to quit saying that.
I'm dead serious. It's a cigarette. They'll ask, can I bum one? Can I whatever? I mean, it's a legit term. That's what it's called. So it just kind of depends on where you are. What's the context?
Let's say Steve, 3 years, does such a good job, he takes over Duke, right? My first choice to come back coach Iowa State, Larry Stacey.
It's ridiculous.
The dude's a phenomenal coach. He shouldn't be coaching a Mountain West program. He should be in the Big 12 winning games.
What did he officially get fired for at Iowa State? Was it the photos related to the drinking with coeds? Or was it something beyond that? He had an alcohol problem.
Yeah.
But they didn't fire him for that.
That was what tipped it over, yeah.
That he had an alcohol problem?
No, it was the photos, I believe. Okay. I mean, I wasn't around back then, so I don't know the ins and outs of it.
For doing nothing illegal.
They embarrassed the university.
Yeah, I'm with Mark.
You know what he also did for the university? He won two Big 12 titles.
Great basketball coach. I don't deny it. I don't deny it. He's you know, we got a good one now though. Let's give him some time.
You can't have one of your
why?
That's the look if you're a university president, one of your two or three most visible
making a million and a half a year.
Highest paid employees.
State employee. Like, you just can't do it. Like, I get it. Like,
he's drinking a beer.
I get that you're an unabashed Larry guy, and, like, he could probably, to steal a line from Trump, kill somebody on Main Street, and you would still support him. However,
guy probably deserved it.
You have to understand, like, what a university president is going through at that point.
If he had been drinking a premium liquor instead of a Natty Light, would it have gone a little different?
To me.
I guess that's what they had at the party.
Guy's publicly embarrassed.
He's drinking
suspend
wine.
Suspend him.
Yeah. Sipping wine.
Suspend him. Fine him. Let him continue to coach. Make him go get help.
I don't really have an opinion on that whole deal because, again, like, I'm so out of – I wasn't around.
You were a Hawk fan.
It meant nothing to me at the time, and I never really paid attention.
Was Floyd before him or after him? Who came next?
Floyd was before him.
And who came after?
Wayne.
Oh, man. Screw you, Larry.
Wayne was his assistant.
How many times do you think Larry told him called him an effing a-hole? Wayne, or to effing shut
his
mouth.
Five times a day.
At least.
God. Yeah, if you don't like Larry Stacey, that should be your reason.
My
whole
deal,
like
though,
him.
Like the Shirley Sullivan thing, like you brought at the beginning. I mean, that's my whole point. Like, without having much of an opinion on this,
difference of opinions between people.
It's just two different guys, and one worships Larry, and the other one resents him after a career. Like, that's just the way it is. People are different. Like, Adam's, you know, big puffed up chest dude over here. Not everybody's like that. Like, not everybody can be coached that way. And
to be fair, I couldn't have been coached that way.
I could have never been coached by Larry Eustace. I would have quit.
I couldn't have been coached that way until I got to college. Then all of a sudden you're a little bit older. You know what I mean? You got a little bit more thick skin. But I mean, I was a wuss.
I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I would have been Paul Shirley. I would have hated the guy.
And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. Then you go find someone that's another fit. Jared Utoff could not be coached by Bo Ryan. Bo Ryan's probably not the easiest guy to be have as your coach, right? Yeah. He had to go for Fran, who's a very calm,
and then Utoff
cool,
had to play without a scholarship
guy.
For a year because Wisconsin blocked him from going
to Iowa. Don't cheat, Iowa.
Imagine playing for someone like Frank Martin, who looks scary just looking at the guy.
Frank Martin used to give me nightmares when he was in the Big 12.
Dude, he looks
Oh, he looks like a mobster.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Players that stick with him love him. The players that stick with Larry Stacey love him. Remember when Iowa State was
not
the
all of them, obviously. I mean, well, Paul Shirley doesn't.
Okay, a lot. I'll never forget though. Iowa State.
You can't
was
use
the
matter of fact. Like, it's not.
Are you going to let me talk?
Not everything is black and white. There is gray area in the world.
Just punch each other.
That's my thing. I say this, okay? During the Elite Eight, when Iowa State called a timeout, I'll never forget Eustace standing there, and he had players come and put their arm around him in the huddle. That doesn't happen. Like I understand Paul Shirley. Paul Shirley, let's be honest, he likes to just write whatever to get in the headlines. He also cried like a baby when they lost. I think he probably liked Eustachy more than he admits he liked him.
He did cry like a baby. That is a fact.
Yeah.
I watched that video.
I think he was I don't buy everything that Paul Shirley says.
So you think he's a liar?
I think he overplays stuff a little bit to get in the headlines.
Do you know Paul Shirley, or are you just by?
No, I'm just bashing him without knowing him. Yeah, I'm just throwing. It's not that I don't like Paul. I just think that sometimes he's been known to make some outlandish comments.
Well, if those comments were in his book, it's not beyond comprehension that he wanted to make the book more interesting.
I don't think they were. Those comments that you read, Mark, were he wrote an op-ed for the Register 1 year. I don't know what year it was. Those weren't actually from the book.
Remember,
I read the book. He does write about.
Look at this hug between Shirley and Eustachy right here on the Des Moines Register. You're telling me he doesn't love that guy right there? Look at that hug.
He's grabbing his head.
I've hugged people I don't love.
He's got his hand on Eustachy's head. I've never hugged another dude and put my hand on his head.
And that was probably when they won the Big 12, right?
He's caressing his scalp.
Yeah,
my point is, your memory of an event or person can change over time when you have more time to reflect on it.
Or when you're trying to sell stories and be
true.
Be all
right,
famous.
That's your opinion of Paul Shirley. That's fine.
Great.
I think no matter what comes out, you're going to be a Larry guy. I don't think that facts really matter to you at this moment.
Oh, facts.
Yeah, I don't think.
I have an actual photo that I am pointing to.
My point is, I don't think
that
there's
pure joy in his
face.
There's
anything.
Gray has alternative facts.
I don't think there's anything you could read about Larry Eustachy that would change your opinion.
I just
that's my point.
When the story came out and I got like 8 people texting me, I thought it was going to be horrible. And I read it and I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's not bad.
I don't disagree with you.
It was like the Hoiberg Hawaii story.
My whole point is that not everybody's the same in the way that Larry coaches. Not everybody can handle it.
I completely agree.
It's not for everybody.
Do you, Gray? You coach
just
something,
like
right? You coach Little League or basketball or something like that.
Fourth graders, yeah. I'm really.
That's not real coaching, by the way.
but it's
that's babysitting.
Okay, but it's the start of their journey, right? These kids' journey.
That's called babysitting.
What is your philosophy with these kids, though? And I ask this question because
I am not. I might try to coach
Seton's next baseball league. But I was telling my wife, I said, because she brought up, she's like, well, they need coaches and stuff. I said, well, before I do that, you have to understand that if I coach, you may not like how I do it. Because yes, they're very young, and I get that. I'm not going to yell at a 5-year-old or whatever, but I also want them to know we're out there for a purpose. We're going to try to do things the right way. And those things require instruction, and they require, you're not doing it right, do it this way. And a lot of parents might be like, I don't, you can't talk to my kid that way or whatever. And I'm okay with that. I'll be like, then you coach and I'll go home. And they won't want to do that.
What do you say that they would be uncomfortable? I'm just curious.
Anything. How dare you tell little Johnny how to stand at second base? Who are you to know that?
Parents
if my
don't
kid
do
wants
that.
To, well, at this age, if my kid wants to play in the dirt, he's going to play in the dirt. No, you're not. You're going to stand up and you're going to look at the plate and be ready for the ball to come, or you're not going to be out here. I mean, that type of stuff. So where do you draw the line, Gray? Are you like –
We got a hard ass over here.
Do you get on the kids? Or you just like, whatever, I don't care.
No,
you got
I'm not.
A Larry
whatever,
Eustachy in the making, and Mark Charter.
I'm completely opposite of Eustachy. I'm a positive coach. I like to, you know, tell him good job and be positive. But
you don't call him the C word and throw pop cans at the wall.
No, I tell him to F and get their A's out there.
Drop
and hustle.
Give me 20.
You know, I want hustle. I want them to play hard, and I'll get on them for that stuff. But for the most part, I am, you know, I try to give kids confidence, especially this age, dudes. All the kids need is confidence.
Yeah.
They need someone to tell them they're doing a good job, even when they're not.
So, what would you tell the kid playing in the dirt?
Stand up, you're gonna get hurt. Like, to me, that's a safety issue. Like, that's not even like a parent. Like, oh, my kid wants to play in the dirt. A blind drive comes and your kid's laying there not paying attention and gets drilled by the ball. You're gonna be mad at me for not saying something to your kid to get up.
Yeah,
that's a safety issue. Yeah. I had that when I first started coaching. And I'll coach Jake's baseball again this year, but. Dude, whatever you do, I hate other parents.
I've
never had a problem with parents ever. I've coached
parents
5 years of basketball. I've coached 3 years of baseball. Never had a problem with parents ever. Not one time.
Yeah.
Parents are the worst.
No, they're not.
I ran the Little League program in Clarinda for 3 summers. And
you
I
did?
Just, yeah.
Well, then you must have sucked.
What type of complaints did you hear?
Parents are.
No, the problem is here's the problem with parents. Every parent thinks their kid's better than they are.
Well, but here's the thing. If a parent doesn't believe in a kid, who will?
I can tell you, if your kid can't hit the ball off the tee, like, he's not going to be Barry Bonds. Like,
no, okay,
you need to quit.
I've never had an issue with a parent.
Oh,
not once.
They're awful.
Like, we just got done.
I can't wait till Cammy's old enough. I'm going to be the coach, and we're all going to play hard, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to get popsicles, win or lose.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
And then all the other dads are going to hate me because everybody in first grade is going to play the same amount. It's going to be awesome.
Seton just finished his basketball season, and no, Seton will not be in the NBA, and I recognize that. He's got a decent jump shot, so dad's happy with him.
Does he dribble?
He does dribble.
That's
so
key.
At least you realize he won't be in the NBA.
Holy crap, dude.
Most dads
this
don't.
League, watching this league. I mean, you get a few kids, a few out there that you're like, that dad takes that kid to the gym with him because he's dribbles well, knows how to do a layup already. That's rare, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got kids. My kid's probably in the middle, you know, maybe a little bit better than average on some of the things. And then you've got the kids that act like it's their first day ever handling a basketball. We had one kid on Seton's team that would shoot every shot one-handed. And he from long distance. He'd get past half court and he'd chuck that baby.
Nice.
Like, and usually miss everything or whatever, and he didn't care. And all season, that's what he did. He never shot it. At no point did any of the coaches, I wouldn't coach, and at no point did any of the coaches say, this is how you shoot a basketball. They just let him keep chucking it one-handed all year long.
Seton's how old, just for people listening?
Five.
Five.
Yeah. So he and Seton, you know, he liked it. He liked playing, and that's what you look for. You want your kid to enjoy it and want to be out there, and he looked forward to it. But I'm looking forward to the age where everybody out there on the field or the court wants to be on the field or the court and is paying attention to what's going on. Because at that age, that ain't happening.
So that's based off of my experience, where everybody actually wants to be out there. You got – what grade is he in?
He's kindergarten. In kindergarten.
So you got about fifth or sixth grade until that will happen.
Yeah. So I got
to
wait.
A lot of times it's not even that the kid wants to be out there. It's that he's being forced to be out there. And
yeah,
that's where you get the ones who are playing around in the dirt because
yeah,
it's like they have zero interest in it. Well, and I get it. Like,
people don't make baseball fun.
It's because it's not a very fun sport.
You can make baseball fun, though. But coaches anymore, they don't.
No, it's ridiculous. I completely agree with
you.
The
games take too long. They don't have the lineups ready. They don't make them hustle out. It drives me bonkers. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry for that.
But based off of my experience, but I was doing it at a little league program in rural Iowa. So, like,
yeah,
a lot of it's like, and I get it, like the parents are just wanting the kids to go out there for the social aspect and the exercise, and that makes sense. But, like, I mean, even like the fifth and sixth graders, like, there were kids who had zero interest. You could tell the only reason they were there is because mom and dad made them.
Yeah. And yeah.
It's not for every kid. Like,
I agree completely.
Some kids are better off playing piano, or, you know, like, everybody's got different things.
Do you, Gray, since you have an older son than I do, maybe you're already thinking about this, are you into specializing, or you, like, go out for every sport?
Every sport.
Because that's what you're seeing a lot of.
Yeah.
Especially when it seems like it comes to basketball.
Yeah.
In Iowa.
And unfortunately, it would put parents in a tough spot because they feel like if they don't specialize, their kid's never going to be as good as the other one because everyone else is specializing. So they're going to fall further behind, which is probably a little bit of truth to that. But I'm sorry, man. I'm not as quite radical as C-Dub saying your kid's never going to be any, never going to play college or anything like that.
Yeah.
Most aren't, though.
But most aren't. Most aren't, yes. So
that's
have
the,
them,
that's
have,
the
them
thing,
have a
like,
lot of experiences, and then they can pick and choose what they
– We're not different on that. Like, some will, but, like, you're going to be able to tell most of the time.
Yeah, but it's also different because
– if your kid's going to be a D1 athlete.
You have, like, something like height. Okay, so when it comes to basketball, you have a chance to have a tall kid.
I'm 6'3". I'm not really that tall.
That's tall compared to an average Iowan. I mean, you've got a leg up on someone like me at 5'11". I'm probably not going to have a tall kid.
With basketball shoes, I'm like 6'5".
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So sometimes you just got to realize.
I see too often, though, like, my whole deal is if you want to spend a ton of money on your kid, and I'm fine with it, like, whatever. The kid's got to like doing it. I see too often where it's the kid doesn't even want to be going to a million softball practices in the middle of winter. They're doing it because mom and dad, it gets their rocks off to, like, have their kid playing all the, seriously, like, I see it too often.
Well, and a lot of it is, too.
It drives me nuts.
It's a social thing for the parents. They become good friends with a lot of the other.
There's no question there's that, but there's also this journey to try to get the all-important college scholarship, which I, you know,
it's
great.
So rare.
You get the scholarship. Your kids just earned something. Maybe it's a D2 or whatever. They've got the scholarship.
It doesn't matter. As long as you're not paying for school, you're happy.
But then you backtrack, right? And how much money did you spend to get there? You're talking everything, camps, uniforms, lots of travel. Oh, a lot of these teams travel,
tens of
hotels,
of dollars,
and like, did you save any money doing it?
But to me, that is those are good life memories. Those are fun times for kids.
If the kids are enjoying it.
If they want to do it, that's the key.
Yeah.
If the kid wants to do it, I'm fine with it. Too often I see that they're doing it for
you. Keep saying this. You're not out at these camps. You don't see any. Like, where are you seeing this stuff? Like, you keep saying it. Too often I see. Where are you seeing it?
We get a lot.
Who's we?
I'm not going to point out in my private life how I see this stuff.
Yeah.
I see it.
Gray.
I'm calling bullshit. You're Paul Shirley in this right now. That's what you're doing.
You've been called out.
You're saying that this doesn't happen?
I'm saying it does happen, but you're saying too often you see it. I don't think you're in an AU game at all. I don't think you're around the Kingdom Hoops seeing these kids that don't want to be there.
I'm not at Kingdom Hoops, no. Yeah.
I would think that most kids playing at Kingdom Hoops want to play basketball, but...
There's some good basketball going on there, by the way, for the younger kids. There's some impressive players.
Jake, by the way, Jake Sullivan posted a video. I don't know if you saw it or friends with him on Facebook, of an eighth grader that plays at Kingdom Hoops. Short little dude. Kid can dish, man.
That's his son.
Is that his kid?
Or wait a second. He posted a video of his kid yesterday. Is that the one, little redhead kid?
Is he the point guard?
He's not in eighth grade, though. Jake's kid's not.
No, this is an eighth grade. I don't think it was his son the way he posted about it. But the kid's like whirling in and out of all these tall people and dishing left and right. And like, the kid looked good.
His son and Curtis Stinson's son are on the same team, and I hear they just
dominate.
Yeah.
Curtis' kid can shoot. I was over there. We did our show from there a couple months ago.
That seems like it should be reversed a little bit.
What?
That Sullivan's son should be the shooter. And
I don't know. I've never seen Jake's kid play, but I watched for probably a half hour Curtis and his kid shooting, and that kid's a baller.
Yeah. Is Curtis forcing him there? Is that where you're getting a lot of your stuff? Is it Curtis that's forcing his son to play basketball?
Stop it.
When's it too early to offer a scholarship? If Jake's kids can shoot anything like Jake, then we need to just offer them now. Eighth grade, ninth grade, whatever, however old they are.
I'm down with that.
Jake had to play point guard. Remember that? Could you imagine Jake Sullivan with Monte Morris as his point guard? He would have hit how many more threes?
About 500.
And he securely has the record, too.
Yeah.
Monte's great.
Jake Sullivan was really
Have you
good.
Noticed, by the way, a little bit of the dialogue seeming to have changed with Monte? You're hearing, at least I am hearing when I watch broadcasts and stuff, much more NBA chatter about Monte.
I wouldn't read too much into it.
They have to talk about
Yeah, I mean, that, you're talking about that span last night where they just talked about him being an NBA player for five straight
minutes. Not just that game, but like this season.
Yeah.
This season, I mean.
I think he'll be a second-round pick, and he'll have a cup of coffee in the league. I don't think he'll be there in 10 years, but I think he'll make some NBA paychecks.
I thought Monte had a good point that PJ talked about how – or it was PJ, maybe it was Kara Lawson. I forget who was talking about it, saying – I've done the pick and roll now for 4 years. Most guys, when they come out of college, they haven't played this kind of offense. Yeah.
He'll get drafted.
He's a second-round pick, and then who knows? I mean, Nader was a second-round pick, and as good as he's been in the D-League, he still hasn't been called up.
That's because he had a terrible contract. If he wouldn't have signed that deal, that exclusive D-League deal, he would have been called up by now. That has nothing to do with him. He has a terrible contract.
Well, okay.
Because the Celtics own him, so he can't get picked up by another team right now. He shouldn't have ever signed that deal.
Okay. So he's one example. And even George Niang gets drafted in the second round, and he's played some in the NBA. But it just goes to show you can be really, really freaking good in college, and it's hard to make the league and stick in the league.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Nader will be in the NBA next year, will be my guess, once this deal runs out.
I just got excited about a movie that I've never even heard of, by the way. You guys know that I like gambling occasionally. So Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler open a secret casino in The House. There's a trailer of Will Ferrell. It looks like he's blowing on the dice. So that movie could be hysterical.
I'm just a big Will Ferrell fan.
The topic of like a secret casino, like in their house or whatever, and they're running it. I'm there, dude.
All of his movies are like a fine wine, right? They just get better with like the more you watch and the better they get. I remember the first time I watched Anchorman, I thought it was terrible, and now it's one of my favorite comedies. I love Anchorman.
Did you see Daddy's Home, by the way?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was funny.
Dude, that scene, like, not a super memorable movie, but the scene where he gets on the motorcycle and that's one of the funnier scenes I've seen in a long time, dude. So fake looking.
Oh, yeah.
But still, he's stuck in the wall.
No, not a scratch in the motorcycle at all. It's just perfect
And he's
condition.
Through the drywall. Oh, funny.
And Mark Wahlberg punches the drywall just right, and he just falls straight down. You haven't seen it, have you? You actually would like Daddy's Home. That's your kind of comedy.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
That is
it sounds like it'd be right in my...
It's family friendly, right?
In my wheelhouse.
Kind of? Kind of.
I don't need it to be family friendly.
No.
Tammy's still too young. You can watch that stuff without her.
She doesn't really pay attention.
No.
If it's not PJ Masks, like, she's not watching it.
Who?
PJ Masks.
I'm a terrible father. I don't watch any
PJ Masks.
PJ Masks. Is that the right time to fight crime?
Do you guys have any
can't think of a
moral rhyme. Do you guys have any moral qualms at all with watching movies that are currently in the theater on websites that they haven't been there?
I don't have any.
I happen to mention this because I watched The Founder, which is the one about Ray Kroc and McDonald's, how that all started. Good movie. I watched that online the other night. Still in the theater. I won't exactly give out the website I used on this.
Sounds illegal.
But I'll tell you guys after if you want it. But no, I don't have an issue with it. I think the crime is going to film them or downloading them, right? It's like, I just clicked play, dude. I just clicked play. So
you're not going to get busted, but the guy who put it on the website who would get in trouble.
Yeah.
You're still stealing.
But I know people that would not do it. They have a problem with
that. As long as you're okay with stealing, then it's fine.
Here's how I justify it. I was never going to go to the theater to watch that movie anyway. So I just wasn't.
That makes it okay then.
I just wasn't, you know? So,
I was never going to buy that shirt, so I might as well just take it.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you're okay with stealing, it's fine.
Well, I guess I am. When you put it that way. But anyway, The Founder, pretty good.
All right.
You should check it out.
Never even heard of it.
All right, boys. We're at 45 minutes. That's about the max.
Hey, will you make sure when we get done with this, you put the intro back on at the beginning of the podcast?
Leibs is mad.
Yeah, Leibs is not very happy.
Well, Leibs is mad that we gave you free hour of radio last week?
Leibs is mad.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to
I'm be not
mad
even,
about.
I'm not even mad. It's my intro. Leibs is mad.
He's upset that you got a free hour of radio last week.
You'd have to ask him about that one.
Well, that's an interesting thing to complain about.
He's acting innocent. He poked the bear. He went back and listened. It's been since December since you've uploaded it, and he made sure Leibs knew
about it.
There's
absolutely no way that's true.
It is true.
That's not true.
It is true.
It's not
true. I went to iTunes. I just clicked play, and it was December the last time we used it.
Well, good. That free hour of drive time radio that you got last week should probably help.
The reality is we need a new intro anyway.
Yeah, we do.
That one's played out.
That one's old and...
played out.
Yeah.
And it's confusing. It's still confused people. I thought it was just to stay to the end. I'm so mad nothing interesting happened at the end. You guys are misleading. Yeah. As long as we can make fun of Gray in the new intro, I'm good with it.
Yep. He'll find a way. All right. See you guys.